Well, as we gather here today, it's the final Sunday of 2018, the 30th of December. Only one day to go in 2018. We might say we are on the brink of 2019. And I don't know how the thought of 2019 appeals to you. Lots of things are already planned. As I said to the children, there are happy occasions like weddings and anniversaries and holidays. But who can tell what sad occasions will happen as well? Will there be illnesses, redundancies, accidents, deaths? Who can tell? Whether we like it or not, we are quite literally, in the will of God, on the brink of the year 2019. And that's why I read earlier in the service from Joshua chapter 1, because there the people of God, under Joshua's leadership, are on the brink as well. Now, they're not on the brink of a new year, but after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they're on the brink of entering into the promised land. Remember, they could have gone straight into the promised land, but because of unbelief, because of hardness of heart, they didn't take God at his word. They let their fears overcome them. And as punishment for 40 years, they had to wander through the wilderness. But now those years have come to a conclusion, and now they're on the brink of entering into the promised land, the land that God had sworn to their forefathers to give them. They'd never been there before. It was exciting. There were people living in that land. Would it be dangerous for them? There were mixed emotions, excitement, fears. And it's into that context that the word of God comes to Joshua. And I want to show you today, just as we look at this opening chapter of Joshua's book, I want to say four things today that Joshua needed to take on board, which likewise might be things that you need to take on board for going into 2019. The first thing's this: they needed to get their eyes on God. And time after time here in this opening chapter, God uses the first person, I, in order to make this point. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Moses, remember, was just recently deceased. Moses was the greatest leader in the Old Testament. He was the author of the first five books of the Bible. Remember, Moses was so important, he appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's that important. But for Joshua, that spiritual leader and that political leader being dead, I guess left Joshua feeling pretty crushed on the inside. How could he fill the shoes of a man like Moses? How could he rise to the task that was before him to take over from someone of the size of Moses? But then comes this word, the land, God says, I am about to give you. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Commenting on this, someone has said that God buries his workmen, but the work goes on. The king is dead. Long live the king. The king of kings, the lord of lords. Joshua and the people needed to get their minds off the past. Moses was now the past. What was God doing in the future? What was God doing tomorrow? What was God doing next week? What was God doing in the months to come, in the years to come? They needed to get their eyes upon God, to trust God, that God knows what he is doing. And it's exactly the same for you and for me as we go into this new year. Jesus said to the disciples, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves.
Jesus said that. I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. We sometimes think, you know, Jesus should make our lives easy. I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Go out and live out your faith in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Go into all the world, he said, and make disciples of all nations. And surely I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. All the world. And I'll be with you. And Psalm 116, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You see, if the Lord is your helper, if you've got your eyes upon the Lord, if the Lord is with you, what can man do to you? What can woman do to you if the Lord is your helper? So the first thing that Joshua needed to do was to get his eyes upon God. The second thing he needed to do was to control his thoughts, or his thoughts were going to control him. Some of the thoughts he may have been having may have been like this: how am I ever going to get what, say, 1 million people across a river the size of the River Ban just down the road? How am I going to get them over this river? And when I get them over this river, there's people living on the other side. Will there be war? What if we take high casualties? And how will we get food and housing and turn these people who have been living as gypsies for the last 40 years, how will we turn them into settled farming life? I'd guess Joshua was afraid, maybe even terrified at the scale of the task, weak at the knees. But God says to him in verse 6, be strong and courageous. Why did God say to him, be strong and courageous? Because Joshua felt weak and because Joshua felt afraid. So God says, be strong and courageous. He says it again in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. In verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. And again in verse 18, some of the tribes people now come to Joshua, and the people are saying to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. He needed to hear the same thing over and over again because his thoughts kept coming back to him of being afraid, of being discouraged, and of being terrified. I think we all know what that's like, isn't it? If we let our thoughts get out of control, we get them back under control again, but then a day or two passes and suddenly our minds are away again. And we need again to rein ourselves in, to bring our thoughts under control. And so God has to repeatedly say to Joshua, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, to reassure him, that he could do it. If you think of a weed, say, in a flower garden, the weed grows up, it maybe has shiny leaves, it even has colorful flowers. But if it's left, it might take over and choke out the beauty around it. A weed demands control. Maybe going into a new year, the weed of fear is growing in your heart. Or the weed of anxiety. Or the weed of weakness. Or the weed of not feeling up to the job that God is calling you to do. It's time to control those thoughts, to dig out that weed, to spray it with the Word of God. And the Word of God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The third thing that Joshua needed to learn was to keep close to God's word, verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Just before Christmas, we got our copy of the Yellow Pages. I think I'm right in saying it's the last edition ever of the Yellow Pages. Very, very small. Used to be a big, thick tome. Now it's very, very small because nowadays people no longer look up the Yellow Pages. They just search for things online. It's a book that has gone out of date. But you can never say about God's Word that it is the book that it has gone out of date. For the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever. Forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my Word will never pass away." It's called here in verse 8, the book of the law. It's a law for how to, God's law for how to live, how to laugh, how to love in a way that pleases God. Verse 8 says, it's not to depart out of Joshua's mouth. In Bible times when they read, when we sit down with the book, we read into ourselves, but in Bible times they read out loud. So when it says it's not to depart out of Joshua's mouth, it means he's to keep reading it out loud. Keep close to it. He's to read his Bible day by day. Not very scientific, but if you want to keep close to God, you've got to keep close to the Word of God. It's been a little bit of dropping off at our midweek Bible study and even the evening service. I'd love to see every evening service the size of last week's carol service. It's great to see so many people here last Sunday night. Size isn't everything, of course, but God's people ought to be hanging on every word of God, for man does not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. But there's more to it than just simply reading it and being familiar with its pages, because it says in verse 8 as well, or God also says to Joshua, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Sometimes we can be just hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. This is a book to obey, to put into practice, to live out. Not just to be familiar with it in the sense of, okay, I know that Bible story, but are you practicing that Bible story? Are you putting that principle to work in your life? And there's a promise in verse 8, then you will be prosperous and successful. Sometimes Christians wonder why their Christian lives never really go very far, and yet they allow sin still in their lives. They don't root out that sin. They don't seek to go deeper with God, when God all the time has prosperity, spiritual prosperity to bless us with that we're missing out on because we're not prepared to go further with Him. Let me ask you today, is Jesus Christ your wealth? You see, when it talks about prosperity here, it doesn't mean necessarily material prosperity, although that may come. But ultimately, our prosperity is Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, you may have nothing in this world's terms, but you have everything. And alternatively, you may have everything in this world's terms, but if you do not have Jesus Christ, you have nothing. I met a lady in Coleraine the other day. I hadn't seen her for quite some time. And she just said to me, "Richard, isn't it terrible? All these beggars in the streets looking for money all the time. And I don't know what to do. Should I give money to all of them?" And we had a conversation about it. And it is terrible to see people living that way and sitting asking for money. It's the same in Belfast. No matter where we go, people are asking for money. But I tell you this, there may be people who are begging for money, but there are an awful lot of spiritual beggars. People who do not have Jesus Christ. They've got everything materially. And Christmas kind of reinforces that, doesn't it? Christmas is a materialistic festival. But do you have Jesus Christ? Because He is your true wealth. He is your true health. He is your righteousness before God. He is your wisdom before God. He is your holiness before God. He's your wisdom before God. You see, when it says you will be prosperous and successful, the false gospel preachers will say, oh, this means that God will give you money. No, it doesn't. But it means that when God gives you Jesus Christ, you have everything you could possibly ever want or need in Him. And that's why Joshua is told to keep close to God's word, to what God says. Not what the world says, not what the nations are saying, to keep close to God. And then prosperity and success will come to his life. The last thing I want to draw your attention to is the second half of the chapter that I didn't read. But the point that's being made in this part of the chapter is that no one is to sit back on their laurels, but everyone in God's people is to play their part. You see, the problem is this, that whilst the people of God were to cross over the River Jordan into the Promised Land, the River Jordan flows from the north down to the south. Three of the tribes decided to stay on the eastern side of the river, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They settled on the eastern side of the river. They got comfortable, they were happy, and they thought they would just stay there. And so when the nine tribes are preparing to move over into the Promised Land and to do whatever had to be done, these guys were kind of watching on and saying, well, we'll just be spectators. We'll cheer you on. We're with you in spirit. But the Lord will have none of it, verse 14. He says to these three tribes, your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as He has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God has given them. Notice that phrase, verse 14. You are to help your brothers. Sometimes people can be good at sitting back and letting others do the work, letting others fight the battles, letting others take possession of the land. Oh, we're with you in spirit, brother. Carry on. But ask them to do anything, and they're nowhere to be seen. They have a million and one excuses. And notice here in verse 14, these three tribes who were settled, who had houses, livestock, comforts, etc., it wasn't that they were to go with the nine tribes. They were to go before the nine tribes. Surely in the spirit of what Jesus said, that to whom much has been given, much will be expected. It's easy in a church to leave it all to others. It's easy to cheer on as a spectator. And then when you're asked by session maybe to be a leader in BB or GB or youth club or to help at the sound desk or children's church or Sunday school, to say, well, you know, how little can I get away with here? John F. Kennedy famously said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Could I ask you going into 2019, how much are you going to do for Emmanuel's country? You know, there's lots of uncertainty in the United Kingdom over Brexit.